Hi there, loyal listeners. Welcome back to the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. I'm Taylor Hustis, otherwise known as Tay-Tay here, and we are super duper excited that you're here with us today. Joining us today is our very own Catherine Brosha. Hello, Catherine.
Hey.
Catherine is an experienced manager who specializes in training development and helping teams navigate change, skills that she has learned and refined during frequent moves as a member of a military family. A professional baker and holder of a BA in psychology and English from St. Thomas University, Catherine has built on her Atlantic Canadian roots and worked around the country and world in a variety of management roles while raising two amazing kiddos. Catherine was thrilled to move back to Nova Scotia 3 years ago and join the team at the Nova Scotia SPCA soon after. A lifelong pet owner and supporter of animal welfare, Catherine's work at the Nova Scotia SPCA started out with helping to consolidate and standardize training for staff in shelters across the province. More recently, she has been setting her focus on improving and strengthening the organization's volunteer program. This gal is impressive. So, before we get into the fun, thank you for being with us here today, Catherine. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. Okay, so just so we can get loosey-goosey, we're going to jump into a round of Go Fetch. This is our fun lightning round where we're going to ask you a few questions just so we can learn a little bit more about what makes you, you.
Sounds good.
Let's do this. Woo! Okay. So the first one is, who is your first pet?
Oh, my first pet was a beautiful medium-haired calico named Pud. We are not at all creative with our pet names. I got her for, I think, maybe Easter when I was about 5 years old. I had her for 14 years. She was wonderful. We lived in rural Newfoundland. She was able to be like an indoor-outdoor cat and have like a really amazing life. And the thing that I remember about her the most is how good she would smell when she would come in from outside. And I don't like my cats now. I definitely have them stay indoors only, but I still think about how good she smelled.
I love what you said about the names, though.
Yeah.
One of our cat's names was actually named Happy because you know how their mouths kind of curl up. My brother was like, oh, he's a happy cat. So his name was Happy.
Perfect.
I know. Very original, right? Okay. Number two, if animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
So I feel like people often say cats for this one.
Yes.
But I don't think that cats are rude. I think that cats just tell you the truth. They set their boundaries. They're clear about them. And that's really impressive. It's something that I think we can all work on a little bit. So I don't know, like maybe like a honey badger. I think a honey badger is pretty rude. Yeah.
I think that's a first for the podcast, to be honest. Okay. And part two of that is who would be the nicest?
Oh, the nicest. Yeah, that's hard too. I don't know. I've met a number of alpacas in my life. They're pretty nice. Yeah, they're pretty sweet, pretty well across the board.
Ooh,
yeah, I'm
going to
go with alpacas.
I think that's a first as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And number three, you are a real champion for pets, but who is your hero? It's a toughie, I know.
Yeah.
There's just so many people in the animal welfare world that you could choose from.
Yeah.
I always think about just like my own world, though. So I always think about my mom. Love you, mom.
That's so sweet. My mom is also amazing. Hero is a strong word. It really denotes like another level of like status.
Totally.
I find that resilience is really an incredible trait to hold. And when I was young, my favorite book was Anne of Green Gables. I really love the resilience of that character. I know she's a fictional character, but I love the resilience of that character sort of personified. And I try to remember that throughout my life. I'm not from PEI. People always ask me if I am. I have a big tattoo of Anne of Green Gables on my arm. I really have always felt really connected to her character. There's lots of other people in the world that kind of have that same kind of resilience built into them. But I would say maybe Anne of Green Gables.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really insightful. And I'm from PEI, so go PEI, go. Okay, that was Go Fetch. There we go. Okay, that was fun. So before we get into the volunteer program itself, I'd love to go back to the very beginning. So have you always had a strong passion for pets and animal welfare? And where, or rather how, do you think that started?
Yeah, so for starters, I come from a really long line of animal lovers, in particular cats, dogs and cats, but really in particular cats. And one might describe my extended family's love of cats to be borderline obsessive, like almost problematic. But so I come by my own obsession, really, honestly. But in terms of animal welfare, there's a wonderful woman in my little hometown in Newfoundland who worked for the local SPCA ever since I was a tiny child. And I always thought that what she did was kind of magical. She always had foster kittens and puppies in her home. And if you were looking to add to your family, she was the one to talk to for sure. The idea of bringing that kind of happiness into people's lives over and over again really stayed with me. Animal welfare is hard work, but there is so much joy to be found in what we do. So she's probably never going to listen to this because I don't know if she knows what a podcast is. God love her. But big shout out to Evelyn in Irishtown, Newfoundland. She really made an impact on my life.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And like such a true inspiration, but also like you are that inspiration for so many other folks. Oh. So I love that. Now it's a full circle moment. Okay. So now we know how you got involved with animal welfare, but what about the SPCA? How did you first get involved with our organization?
Yeah. So we moved around a lot. Like as my bio says, I'm a member of a military family. And I think that at one point I moved 8 times in 8 years. It's wow. Kind of wild. And as a result of that, I've been involved with various animal welfare organizations in nearly every place I've called home, whether through volunteering or fostering. And in fact, as a military family, we found that fostering was a really wonderful way to have animals in our lives without having to worry about the impact of frequent moves on right. that animal. So we found it to be a really wonderful way to give back to the organizations in the various areas that I lived in. But all that involvement, I really wanted to make it more official and be able to utilize like my skills that I've built over the years and my passions around animal welfare to improve the lives of shelter animals on a more full-time basis. And when I learned that we were moving to Nova Scotia and that we were going to be here for more than, you know, a year, I immediately started checking the SPCA website for opportunities that would allow me to do that. I was so thrilled when I saw the posting for this position because I couldn't have imagined a better fit for how I wanted to contribute.
And lucky us. Mm. We are so lucky to have you as a part of our SPCA family. And speaking of that, there are so many rewarding ways to volunteer with the SPCA, whether it's our shelters, fundraising, fosters, TNR, outreach events, thrift stores, board of directors, you name it. And time again, the SPCA has been voted one of the best places to volunteer by the coast. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because the work is hard, but it's just immediately so rewarding. Like even when you're cleaning up like a really big, terrible mess in a cat kennel, the cat is purring and rubbing their face all over you. It's really like a dose of dopamine every time you walk into the shelter. Seeing the new animals that have come in, seeing people fall in love with adoptables that you like watched through their journey in the shelter, and adding to their families, like being able to give someone their own very best friend, like what's not to love about that? And having a part of that is really, really rewarding. And that's just in the shelter, of course, because there's other places to volunteer, and volunteering at our thrift stores can be just as much fun and just as rewarding because sorting donations is like the ultimate treasure hunt, right? You never know what you're going to find. And sometimes they find some real some really cool things. So knowing then that your hard work is going to directly improve the life of a shelter animal is really just the cherry on top of that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And just that there's so many different ways for people to get involved. Like if there's a talent or anything that you're passionate
absolutely.
About, we will find some way to utilize that.
We'll certainly try.
Yes, exactly. Right. Okay, so take me through a couple typical volunteer shifts. So let's do two examples.
Sure.
Let's start off with the August shelter.
Yeah. So at both the shelters and the thrift stores, our shifts are about 3 to 4 hours long, and most volunteers are in the building for just one shift a week. With regards to the shelter, there's a variety of positions available. So from administration to working with cats and dogs, and really every day is different. There is no like typical. The shifts are normally a mix of tasks that have to do with your specific position and also a big mix of general cleaning duties, helping the shelter out with dishes and laundry and cleaning of equipment. Everything that we use from dishes to toys, all the way up to the large kennels, can only get used for one animal before it has to be completely cleaned and sanitized. So you can imagine that that's a lot of cleaning to do, but many hands make light work. And then you get to go back to having cuddles from the shelter animals, and you get to rest easy knowing that the shelter staff and volunteers for the next day have what they need to do their jobs.
Yes, yeah. I love that. Okay, what about thrift?
So like in the shelter, the thrift store has a variety of positions available, and there's really something for everyone. You can help out with sorting donations in our back room. You can help keeping our sales floor stocked and tidy, or you can serve customers as a cashier. All the positions are super fun. Folks get so excited about the items that they find to purchase in our stores, and you get to share in that excitement with them. And the items at our thrift stores are priced very reasonably. So it feels really good when people find things that they need or things that they were looking for a bargain. And it feels even better knowing that their purchases will support the hard work done in our shelters.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't really know that thrift volunteering is an option. I think a lot of people think volunteering and they automatically just think shelters. But where we have 3 thrift stores, soon to be 4 thrift stores throughout the province, with our new one coming up in Stellarton, it just opens up a whole new
absolutely.
Door of opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I lied. That was fun. So let's do one more. What would a typical foster situation look like?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't think about volunteering and consider fostering to be lumped into that sort of category of ways of helping the shelter, but it really is. It is a separate application, but because we have different questions to ask, but fostering is such a great way to help the organization. It's actually probably my favorite thing to talk about. So like time check, right? So many of the animals that come into our care don't ever need to go into a foster home. We do amazing work in our shelters, and the animals receive the care that they need and then go up for adoption so quickly that fosters are not part of their story. But despite that amazing work that our staff and volunteers do, our shelters are not always the most suitable place for some of the more vulnerable animals that need help. And that might be like a mom cat or dog who's caring for their little ones.
Right.
An animal with a long recovery period from an illness or surgery, or situations that require around-the-clock care like orphaned kittens and puppies. But whatever the situation is, the Nova Scotia SPCA provides everything that you would need to care for the animals during their time in your home. Everything from obviously any veterinary care or food or stuff, but all the way down to toys and bedding and towels and everything. Like whatever you need, we will provide it for you. And typically the foster period is a few weeks, sometimes a little longer depending on the situation. But the best thing about the way that we do it is that after you've applied to be a foster and you've been approved, you will generally receive emails from the shelter describing the animal that we currently have that needs a foster home. And you'll be able to let the shelter know. You'll be one of a few people on that email list, and you'll be able to let the shelter know if it's the right time and the right fit for your family. So you're never going to be like assigned an animal and just told, here you go, this is your foster right now. It's very much a collaborative process, and we want people to go into foster agreements being really excited about it. So if you need to take a little bit of time off from fostering, then that's perfectly fine. You can just let the shelter know, and they'll be super happy to oblige, but also great to see you back when you're ready to come back and foster again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you actually tend to take work and kittens home yourself. And
guilty.
You're a big foster. So how did you get into fostering pets, and how many, if you know, have you fostered to date?
You gave me a hint that this question was going to be asked, and I started trying to count them and add them up. And every time I thought I had a number, I remembered more that I had counted. I'm heading towards 50 cats and kittens.
Oh my gosh, Catherine, fostered 25 and I thought that was a lot. You've doubled me.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. So it's not that many if you stretch it out over all the years, but it's been a lot. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And do you remember your first foster experience?
My very first was a beautiful mom cat. And she was so sweet. Her name is escaping me at the moment, but she had three kittens while she was with us. And we named them Emma, Asha, and Zuzu. And she was so sweet and so hard to say goodbye to because they were our very first. And I thought my kids' hearts were going to break, but that's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
And knowing that those cats went into, they're probably still with their homes now. It just warms my heart to think about the years of happiness that they've brought to their new owners.
It's so special. Yeah. And you helped to make that happen.
Mm.
So that actually brings me to my next question.
Yeah.
Because I find some folks will say, like, I wish I could foster, but the goodbyes would be way too hard. So do you have any words of wisdom or any advice to share to help those people who are interested but a little worried to take the leap?
Yeah, I've done a lot of outreach events, and I hear that all the time. Like, I could never say goodbye to them. And I mean, for starters, I do think that once you get to, they start out tiny and pretty helpless, and then eventually you end up with five kittens in your house and a mom cat, and kittens are sharp. Kittens have six, what is it? Kittens have six ends and five are pointy, right?
I love that.
They get to be 8 weeks old and they're all getting really rambunctious. And honestly, saying goodbye to them is a lot easier at that point. All jokes aside, I think that the best way to sort of get past that feeling is just thinking about how that feeling that you have when you walk into a shelter and you look around and you think, I just want to take everything home. And that's something else that we hear people say all the time. Like, I just want to take them all home. And the best thing about fostering is that it allows you to do exactly that. Mm-hmm. You get to continuously help to improve the lives of shelter animals, not just one that you adopt, but another one and another one and another one. I focus on setting up my foster cats and kittens to have the best possible lives, the best possible starts to their lives, and so that they are ready and going to be super comfortable to go into their adoptive homes. And I always remember the reason that I got into fostering to begin with, and that is helping to support the shelter by extending that care beyond the four walls of the building. Now and then one kitten really tugs at my heartstrings, but if I started keeping every kitten I fell in love with, I would be absolutely overrun in no time. So I just focus on how happy they're going to make their new owner and how much the owner is going to adore and spoil their new best friend. And then I bring them back to the shelter and I just get more kittens.
Yes.
Right?
That's the best way to get over it, right?
Absolutely.
And I mean, I absolutely agree. I think it's tricky because goodbye is the goal, right? But the fulfilling feeling that you help to set that pet and their future family up for success, it outweighs any sadness that you feel.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is there a certain moment, memory, or milestone that sticks out as being extra special with your time with SPCA?
Absolutely. So the 2022 Pride Parade in Halifax We were a small but mighty contingent of volunteers and staff members. It was so much fun. We had probably, I want to say, less than 10 of us that were there. We had our SPCA van along with us. We blasted some music and we went through the parade route. And by the end of it, we were actually awarded most spirited in the parade. So it was a really special time, really special moment to share with volunteers and with staff. And we have registered for the Pride Parade again this year. We're so excited. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. We have a title to defend, so
yeah, we do. Okay, so I know kitten season will soon be here. Yes. Is there a particular need or demands for volunteers or fosters right now?
Yeah. So kitten season, we always need cat and kitten fosters all year round. It is such a gift to give to a mom cat to open up your home to them for the 8 weeks that they need a safe haven to take care of their babies. It's such a wonderful thing to do. So we always need cat and kitten fosters, but we really need volunteers in all areas of the organization. Our shelters and thrift stores can all use more sets of helpful hands. So folks should not hesitate to put in their application. Even if you don't know if your availability will work, or even if you don't know if it's how you want to help us, we'll help you figure it out. And so please let us know that you want to help us. Please make that first step.
Yes. And that actually brings me to my next point, mm-hmm. is that if someone is not able to stick to a set schedule, but they really want to help, is there some way that they can get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do prefer that our shelter and thrift store volunteers commit to the same weekly shift on an ongoing basis. And that's just to help the shelters with scheduling so that we can know like who to expect to have in the building. And it just makes it all a lot easier. But we are definitely able to consider more flexible schedules, especially in our thrift stores and some of our rural shelters. And there's always positions that are more occasional to begin with. So supporting our outreach team at community events, for example. And for those who want to volunteer on a very casual or drop-in basis, that's a possibility too. You can check your local shelter's hours on our website and head on over to the shelter to visit with our adoptable animals. You don't need to call ahead or make an appointment. As long as we are open to the public, the staff and the shelter animals would love to see visitors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that's actually how I got involved with SPCA in the first place.
So sweet.
Is that when we first moved here, we were in an apartment building and we weren't allowed dogs. We were only allowed to have our one cat there. Mm-hmm. And I needed to see some more animals in my life. Yeah. So every weekend, me and my husband, we would come down, we'd walk the dogs, cuddle the cats. We participated in fundraisers like now it's called Treat Week, but back mm-hmm. then it was called Big Sales for Wagging Tails. Mm-hmm. And yeah, any way that we could get involved with SPCA, we were there.
Awesome. But
then I had to say, please hire me, please, please make it official. Okay, so with your time with SPCA, you've been able to make amazing improvements to our volunteer program. Can you share with me a little bit more about what the process is like now and why you've made those changes?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to keep this brief because this is something else I could talk about for a long time. But prior to 2020 and COVID-19, our shelters and thrift stores all did their own volunteer screening and onboarding, and they did a great job. Everyone had kind of their own way of doing things, and in general, it ran relatively smoothly. But then the pandemic hit, and our volunteer program was paused, and in the years that sort of followed, especially the year that followed, we had volunteer turnover and staff turnover and, of course, like natural things that would happen. And because onboarding volunteers wasn't something that was happening, a lot of the processes that had been in place hadn't been used for a little while. And it was kind of obvious to the people who were running them that there was probably a better way of going about doing it. Mm-hmm. So once we were ready then to start bringing volunteers back in, it was also a little overwhelming because we actually receive hundreds of offers of help every month. And we want to make sure that we're communicating with every one of those people because we appreciate every single offer. So there was a really great opportunity to standardize the volunteer application process and give potential volunteers more information right from the start and be able to more effectively like match people's skills and passions with positions in the organization. So now the process, there's a few steps, but none of them are super complicated, I promise. So the first is to fill out a really short screening form. And that one is just a few questions to determine that your journey is starting in the right direction, because we don't want you to waste your time. And we want to make sure that we're being respectful of the time that you want to give us. So then you're invited to watch a video that kind of explains who we are as an organization, and then also the volunteer program and the various ways that you can help. Because sometimes people think that they want to volunteer to walk dogs or sew, for example, but they might not know all of the requirements for that particular position. And maybe those same people have never considered volunteering in the thrift stores. Yeah. Like you said, some people don't even realize that you can volunteer there. And so by watching the video that sort of explains the different positions, it can help to clarify that, oh, maybe I should actually apply to be at the thrift store and instead of walking dogs. And then I can just walk dogs on a casual drop-in basis, yeah. Right? So the video is designed to kind of help people choose the right position so that there's going to be the highest level of success right from the start. So then after you watch that video, you would put in your application, and then it starts the screening and the training for your specific role, which is there's an at-home training portion. And once you finish that at-home training, then your application is forwarded to the department and they reach out to you to schedule your first in-person shift. Then you're off to the races.
Bada bing, bada boom. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more very important question before we wrap up. If someone listening is interested in volunteering, where should they go?
Okay, so the best place to go is our website. The initial form, as I mentioned, the screening form is super short and easy to complete, and it is designed to capture lots of different ways that people want to help out. So whether you're a community group or an individual, you can start by filling out that form. But if you're really not sure where to start, you can always email me at volunteer@spcans.ca, and I'm super happy to help you figure out your first step.
Awesome. We can't wait to get more people started. Okay, so that was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine.
Of course.
The animal welfare world and our SBCA family are very, very lucky to have you champion our cause. And a very special thank you to our dedicated listeners for tuning in and for joining us today. We hope you all have a great day. And in case you haven't heard it yet today, you are amazing. Cheers.